Hello, my name is David Voiles, and welcome to the Web Dev Show. Today, I want to discuss emscripten, which essentially transpiles C and C++ to another language, such as JavaScript or HTML5, and I want you to understand how this technology works. So, to begin, JavaScript is standards-based and the only language that runs in all web browsers. So I'm highlighting a couple here, but obviously there are several more than this. But you can only run JavaScript inside of browsers, but you can write it in another language if you compile or transpile to JavaScript. Now, transpilation is the act of taking one language and converting it to another. So everything compiles to LLVM bitcode. An LLVM essentially stands for low-level virtual machine, although now it is really just more of an umbrella project to handle this entire process. So LLVM is actually part of building blocks, is the best way to look at it, for a compiler toolchain. So what it allows us to do is we can pass in one language from the front, or the front end, as they'll call it, such as C or C++, and LLVM will do a lot of the heavy lifting for us. And on the back end, we can actually change out the different compilation targets that we want to look for. So for example, I may want to build a project for an ARM mobile processor. In that case, I would put in the back end for ARM. Maybe I want x86 so my application could run on desktop applications. In this case, I would put in that back end. So what we're doing with emscripten, and this is a project started by Mozilla, is with emscripten, you can take the browser or JavaScript and use that as a compilation target just like any other platform. So we can take this LLVM bitcode, so we can convert C or C++, turn it into LLVM bitcode, and then turn that bitcode into JavaScript. So native code has perks, right? And performance is naturally the biggest one. But so does rapid testing and sharing. And here's an example. I can transpile some code to JavaScript and just share the URL. So maybe I have a project I'm working on and I host it on my own website and I can just send out a tweet to the world and say, check out my new project. They don't have to download and install some crazy package and have to do checks to make sure that it's going to work on their platform. Instead, they can just go to the link, press play, and they're good to go. And this is nothing new, well, at least sort of. So other languages and projects like this have existed in the past. So C#, Python, Java, even TypeScript, which Microsoft has started, an open source project, all transpile to JavaScript. And other languages have done this as well in the past. So you look at PyJS, right, for Python, JSIL, which is what you're doing for C#, and Java, which was started by Google, at least this Google Web Toolkit, will allow you to take your Java code and get it working inside of the browser. So why now, you're probably thinking? Like, why wasn't this happening earlier? And the reason is pretty straightforward. Non-standardized approaches. So that is things like ActiveX, Silverlight, Flash, Pinnacle, Pappy, I'm not sure how to pronounce that one, have all had limited success. And for a number of reasons, right? Security was probably the largest issue there, but now we can get around that. We don't need these plugins and extensions and add-ons that are for proprietary platforms. Instead, we can use plugins outside of HTML5 because now we have far greater standards than we've ever had before. So these HTML5 plugins, they did not receive the widespread adoption, both from technical and non-technical reasons, which I explained a moment ago. Besides, they're all on their way out, right? So there's no plugins for iOS devices. There's no Flash there either. Google nixes NPAPI. And here's an article from Ars Technica from last year that says Chrome starts pushing Java off the web by even disabling plugins. So we were essentially getting a lot of these native features inside of the browser, but we always had to have a workaround to get it done. But this is great for the web, right? We have standards. And finally, many of the web browser vendors are starting to adhere to them. So JavaScript is a standard, so why not compile to that? So here's another example for you, gaming on the web. So here's your experience with a typical game. Maybe I'm getting something from a platform-specific store, such as Steam on the PC. So I've got to go or download the platform-specific store. I then got to log in, find my game, purchase it, download, install the game. You know, it's got to do a number of checks along the way to make sure that's compatible on my platform. I've then got to patch the game if it's not up to date at that point, and then I can go to play it. But with something like a web game, far different. I can just point somebody to my website, go to daveoyles.com, and it'll launch a game. That's it. That's all that they have to do, is they click on a link, and they now have my entire experience. So here's a brief overview of AssemblyJS. So AssemblyJS is a subset of JavaScript, and what Emscripten is going to do, it's not going to spit out just generic JavaScript, which you and I would expect. Instead, it's a highly performant and highly optimized subset of this language. And again, here's how this works. I have C# highlighted here to begin with, and that's because middleware tools such as Unity Game Engine can actually take your C# code and get it through this entire pipeline. But for some of the examples I have on my blog, I'm highlighting C and C++, running it through LLVM, and then Emscripten on the back end, which will then export a large ASM.js JavaScript file. So ASM.js, short for Assembly JavaScript, and again, it's a highly performant subset of the language. So Emscripten, overview. It's open source, uses the MIT license, began in 2010. Alon Zakai has been perhaps the biggest proponent of this. He works at Mozilla as a researcher, and he has some fantastic information on this. So I'd highly encourage you to take a look at his GitHub account, his Twitter, and several of the YouTube videos that he has on this exact topic, because he can go far, far more in depth than I could ever show you here. So this is not without its limitations, right? So when going from a statically typed language, something like C or C++, you're going to have some missing features. So first thing is 64-bit integer math will not work. That's just not available inside of the JavaScript language. Additionally, no multi-threading with shared state. So if your application written in C or C++ requires multi-threading, it will not work inside the browser. The best that we have at this point are service workers, and that essentially simulates multi-threading within the browser, but it still has no one-to-one mapping with getting to work in a language like C or C++. And then finally, no direct 3D support. So direct 3D is the graphics API offered by Microsoft under our DirectX umbrella. So only OpenGL is available. And this certainly isn't a big loss for a lot of people. OpenGL, wildly popular. Graphics library works on many, many, many platforms. So using OpenGL or WebGL, at least is the web variant that we'd have available to us, we can take these OpenGL calls for our native application and have it working inside the browser, and often at the same, if not better, performance. So debugging, right? You're going to create this application, but you've got to solve any issues along the way. So this is a problem in general with compiling for the web. So source maps can help, but browsers do have a lot more work to make the debugging compiled code a smoother experience. So our best advice, at least for now, is to start with your compiled code, sort out any issues you may have there, and then take a look at the JavaScript that comes out. If you're going to have some issues in your compiled code, you're certainly going to have those issues carry over when you're actually working inside the web. Also, in terms of a great debugger, you might want to look at something like Vorlon.js. I have several tutorials on that, which can help you debug many of your web applications, even remotely. So why would somebody actually want to do this, right? What is the selling point for taking some code that I wrote in another language and bringing it over to the web? Well, first of which is you could look at circumventing app stores. So there's a technology called Manifold.js, which is piggybacking on much of what Cordova is doing. And what this allows you to do is create hybrid web applications. That is, you have a native shell or native wrapper for iOS, Android, platforms such as Windows, and inside of that, you have a web view of sorts that will run your application. So when I say circumvent app stores, what I mean is, typically, if you're going to submit an app to the iOS app store, your wait is between 6 and 7 days right now. So I may come up with an application, I'll get it out to the store, it may take off like wildfire, and then a couple days later, I decide to update it, I'll send my update, I wait 6 or 7 days for that to come, and then someone discovers a bug. Maybe there's an issue with my application. Well, immediately I can resolve this issue. It might be 1 or 2 lines of code. I can get this fixed, but it's going to take 6 or 7 days for that update to actually get to my end users because it has to go through the store again. As an end user, that's not a very good experience, and as a developer, that's not what you want either, because this entire time, you are having people downvote your application into oblivion, never to be seen again. And this is for an application that you could fix with one line of code. Well, now with this, you can write your application in C or C++, wrap it in something like Manifold, and then get it working on these platforms that support ASM.js and Scripton, and now you can go around the store. So I have to wait that initial 6 or 7 day waiting period. I can get it in there, and at any time in that I need an update, I'm not actually updating the application itself. I'm updating the website that it's pointing to inside the cloud. So download just parts of the app, stream the rest. So we'll look at something like Star Citizen, perhaps the most successful Kickstarter, at least in gaming, of all time. We've raised more than $100 million in funding. So right now, they said that their finished application will be about 100 gigabits or gigabytes of code or assets. That is massive. Do I really want to download all of that? I have a great connection at my home, but if I'm in places like, I have friends in Australia who are rate limited and cost a fortune for them to have internet, that's just not practical. But I look at something on the other hand, like Age of Ascent by Lyriad Games, fantastic WebGL experience for the browser, where they have simultaneous multiplayer of thousands of people in a spaceship arena shooting at once. So with this, they can give me the client, 50 megabytes, to start the game and the initial download, and they're only streaming the parts that I need. So as I get to a different part of the universe, I'm getting that content. So I'm only getting what I need. There's no sense in giving me all the assets for that final boss, which I may or may not ever get to, right? So in this regard, with the web, I can save on my bandwidth costs as the content deliverer and save on your bandwidth costs as well as the person consuming this content. Oops, I want to go back there. And then finally, distribution through sources other than curated app stores. I can release an app on my own website. I don't always have to go through a distributed store. So browser support. So this was taken in December of 2015 from caniuse.com. So here's some of the browsers and at least where ASM is supported. So right now we see it's in Edge, it's in Firefox, has a bit of support in Chrome as well. The mobile browsers aren't quite there yet. Perhaps with time it'll get there. But again, ASM is still a very, very new technology. And again, Emscripten relies on assembly JavaScript because that's what it's actually exporting in the end. So how do we connect C and C++ to JavaScript? Wrote an application in one language, how do you get it to communicate with something else? Well, there are a number of ways. We can call compiled C functions from normal JavaScript, and I've illustrated a number of ways here. You can also call compiled C++ classes from JavaScript using bindings, creating with mbind or the DL binder. And then also, we can take JavaScript and we can call these C and C++ functions that we've done or created, and we can do this a number of ways too. Now, I'm short on time, so I'm not gonna dive into all of this now, but again, I would encourage you to go to my site, davevoiles.com, and understand how more of this works. So Unity WebGL benchmarks. Now, I mentioned before that Unity is a middleware tool used by game developers across the world. It's wildly popular, and it's free for you to start with. And they are actually taking advantage of WebGL. That's the graphics library available to the web or to the browser that Emscripten would take advantage of. They're also using assembly JavaScript and actually running this through Emscripten. So every year or so they go through and they have performance benchmarks so you can see how this is actually working over time. So at the bottom here we see Chrome, somewhat performant. Higher is better here though. So as we start using things like Edge, we get far better performance. Firefox, at least the 64-bit version. And then finally, the latest version of Firefox with things like shared array buffers, so we can get more performant code. And shared array buffers are a programming tool or technique available to the language, which is not quite in JavaScript yet, but it's getting there. And when we take advantage of these, and these will be built into the browser, so you're not having to do this yourself, our performance will become exponentially better. So here are some of the notes that they had from their performance write-up. In benchmarks which stress WebGL rendering performance, those are things like particles, asteroid field, Edge performs best of all tested browsers. When you're mostly GPU bound, that means you're relying on the graphics card within your device, you can expect WebGL to perform very similar to native code. Hey, that's great. So for the longest time, people have been saying, oh, the browser is too slow for me. Well, here you go. The proof is in the pudding right here. You have a game vendor, a middleware vendor, telling you that WebGL will perform very, very similar to your native code. In fact, in some areas, WebGL will actually outperform native code significantly. And that's because your WebGL code is actually talking directly to the graphics card. It's not a JavaScript translation layer. Instead, you're writing code, graphics level code that'll talk directly to it. But still, native code can be several times faster than WebGL for areas heavily optimized to use things like multi-threading, which, as I mentioned before, is not available to this, and/or SIMD. So SIMD is single instructions, multiple data. And what that means is I'm going to perform the same math calculations on multiple bits of data. So it might wait until I have a number of functions that I can run addition on or multiplication on. It's going to group them together, do it at once, and then spit out the result. So let's look at a case study. We have Alchemy Labs. They're a developer based out of Boston who is one of the first to take advantage of this WebGL and Emscripten project, which Unity had built into their middleware. So their game, 200 plus levels, 300 assets can be spawned at runtime, 38 full-length songs. But here's the kicker, it has more than 1 million lines of JavaScript. So this is a game that they made for both desktop applications as well as the browser, and it's got more than 1 million lines of JavaScript when this build is said and done. Even better, the WebGL, so that's the web version, with the Unity engine packaged with it, the entire size is 68.8 megabits. So the PC build actually comes out to 192 megabytes. So your PC build, for whatever reason, is larger than your web build. I remember I'd said before that it's all about reaching the largest number of customers possible. Well, now they've cut down to the size exponentially and allows them to really hit more consumers in the end. So you and I may have fast internet, but you gotta imagine, not everyone in the world has that luxury. So in the conclusion, the advantages of porting C and C++ to JavaScript are clear. Often a smaller package size, as I just showcased. You can easily demo or share your projects on the web, and you can reuse a lot of that existing code that you've already made for other projects. Now, this final slide I got from Brandon Eich at Mozilla, and I absolutely love this because it's a picture taken from Passenger 57 with Wesley Snipes up there. Always bet on JavaScript. And for years, for 20 years, people have been saying, no, JavaScript's not there. It's just not a practical target. First, they said JavaScript couldn't be useful for building rich internet apps. Well, I think we've showcased that it works quite well. Then they said it couldn't be fast. I showed you a few moments ago how fast it actually can be. They said it couldn't be fixed. Well, that's debatable. But you see now, at least with the new ECMAScript standards, ECMAScript 2015, we have a JavaScript being fixed on actually an annual basis now, or at least improved upon. They said it couldn't do multi-core or GPU. Well, it's working with the GPU just fine, thanks to WebGL. The haters have been wrong every time, and his advice, as well as mine, to be always bet on JavaScript. And finally, again for references, Alon Zakai at Kripken on Twitter, I would encourage you to take a look at his work. He's done a fantastic job of this. And most of the information, if not all of it, that I've gathered has come from him. So encourage him, encourage the work and everything Mozilla is doing, because I would love to see you take some of your native applications, bring them over to the browser, which is nothing more than another compilation target, and make your projects available to more people. I'm David Voiles from Microsoft. See you next time.